Lecture topic, Sanctity of the Masjid.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وبعد فقد قال جل وعلا في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ورفع أبويه على العرش وخروا له سجدا وقال يا أبت هذا تأويل رؤياي من قبل قد جعلها ربي حقا وقد أحسن بي إذ أخرجني من السجن وجاء بكم من البدو من بعد أن نزغ الشيطان بيني وبين إخوتي إن ربي لطيف لما يشاء إن ربي لطيف لما يشاء إنه هو العليم الحكيم وقال تعالى وإذ يرفع إبراهيم القواعد من البيت وإسماعيل ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم الحمد لله الذي بنعمته تتم الصالحات أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, elders, mothers and sisters, with the advent of democracy in 94 and the fall of apartheid, many Muslims felt the need to relocate to former white areas like this very area of ours. For whatever reasons, greener pastures, more economic, more central. This relocation was viewed with a degree of apprehension, nervousness and uneasiness by the seniors of our community. And we respect their concerns. Their concerns were, you are going there, my son. Where will my grandchildren go to madrasa? Will you have Muslim neighbors? Will you perform salah? And today Allah brings this day to us that by Allah, every member in this community deserves a pat on their back. If those seniors are alive, alhamdulillah, this is a day for you to sigh with relief. The battle is far from over. The challenge is far from over. Wherever we are, there is a challenge. In fact, I can safely say the very people that have been instrumental in making this masjid a reality with the grace of Allah, I doubt they would have been such an asset back home as they were here. Because those areas, somehow we were in a comfort zone that one uncle is giving azan for the last 20 years and that's how it happens and that uncle will carry on and everybody is comfortable in his place. But when they relocated and they came to these areas, they realized that, you know what? Back in our areas, we had this, and now they were put into the deep end and they had to apply their mind. And subhanallah, what a day, what an amazing day. What great joy, happiness, jubilation and excitement grips us. The ayat al-kareema I recited before you, Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam had a dream when he was a young boy, as a lad. What was his dream? He seen the 11 stars, which were symbolic to his siblings, the sun and the moon, which was an inference and a reference to his honorable parents, bowing and prostrating to him. He narrated this dream to his father, who in addition to being a father, was a prophet, who had walked the path of prophethood, hence was acquainted with the early indications of a Nabi from his childhood. So he said to his son, Ya bunayya la taqsus ru'yaka ala ikhwatika fayakidu laka kayda. Oh my son, there is a great future in this dream. Keep it a secret. Don't divulge it. Don't express it. Be it the innocence of a child or the naive nature of a child, in good faith, he shared this vision with his siblings, which was then exploited by the devilish element and a new chapter opened in the life of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, the brothers plotting his killing, his assassination. But here is my point and here is my analogy. Sayyidina Yusuf sees this dream. What's the dream? His parents and his siblings, 11 stars, sun and moon, are going to bow and prostrate to him. Tragically, things start unfolding on a different note. And as things start progressing in the life of Yusuf, this dream looks rather increasingly remote. It looks more far-fetched. It looks more slim. If we have to pause and halt for a moment and say the gentleman that is lying here in the well is to assume the throne of Egypt. It doesn't gel with logic. It doesn't tie up. This was the dream scene. But what's the message? The message is as follows, that when Allah decides a thing to happen, then everything happens rapidly and systematically. And when the time has not been decreed, then it just does not happen. This is the message. I had seen a vision, I whispered it to few and said it to others, and I think we all had this dream and this vision that this land be transformed into a masjid. And as time went on, honestly, I felt, I think it's a bit far-fetched now, there's a bit of cracks, there's a bit of this, there's a bit of challenges. I wonder it's going to happen, will it happen, is it possible, will I see this? Anyway, Allah knows best if ever it happens. But when Allah decided it to happen, from the time Yusuf seen the dream to it reaching fruition and completion, scholars tell us it took 4 decades and more. 4 decades and more. So if you had a dream, you know what? Good luck coming your way. You're striking a big deal. Next morning, nobody's standing at your door. It's when Allah decides. At the point Allah decides. And when Allah decided, in the interim, Yaqub loses his vision. He's supposed to be coming and bowing before his son. This boy is supposed to assume, but things are going on the back foot. Things are getting more negative. There's hurdles and obstacles. There's challenges coming. And when Allah decided for it to happen, suddenly the brothers meet up with Yusuf. The vision is restored. And the Quran says, وَرَفَعَ أَبَوَيْهِ عَلَى الْعَرُشِ وَخَرُّوا لَهُ سُجَّدًا. If we look at the last period of time, how rapidly things have been happening here. And I've been passing here every time, and the children want to come and see this and that. And you see a shell, and you see a bit of a building and some walls. And okay, it's happening, inshallah, one day Allah knows, let it happen. And before we knew, when Allah decided, the moment has come. What is our way forward? What did Sayyidina Yusuf say? And this is the connotations I want to link up with. When finally the dream reached completion, and Allah made it a reality, how did he respond? Did he moan and groan and say it took a long 40 years for this to happen? No. He rather said, وَرَفَعَ أَبَوَيْهِ عَلَى الْعَرْشِ وَخَرُّوا لَهُ سُجَّدًا. He raised his parents on the throne and they bowed in prostration to him in his honor, which was permissible in the previous shariat.
وَقَالَ يَا أَبَتِ هَذَا تَأْوِيلُ رُؤْيَايَ مِنْ قَبْلُ قَدْ جَعَلَهَا رَبِّي حَقًّا.
And he said, indeed, this is the vision and the materialization of my dream which I had seen as a young boy. And while speaking about the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let me bring on board all the other ni'mats of Allah as well.
وَقَدْ أَحْسَنَ بِي إِذْ أَخْرَجَنِي مِنَ السِّجْنِ.
Allah has been extremely kind, not only in the completion of my dream, but Allah freed me and liberated me from the jail as well. And at this point, I want to highlight the other bounties of Allah.
وَجَاءَ بِكُم مِّنَ الْبَدْوِ مِن بَعْدِ أَن نَزَغَ الشَّيْطَانُ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ إِخْوَتِي.
And oh my brothers, Allah has reunited us after the devil has disunited us. Allah has reunited us after the devil. It's been a rocky patch, but yes, Allah has brought us together. Scholars explain one very amazing point at this juncture. When he highlighted the bounties of Allah, he spoke about the fact that Allah freed him from the jail, and he didn't make mention of the fact that Allah freed him from the well. Because he said the topic of the well was a very contentious issue. It would make subtle reference to the hostility of his brothers. So he didn't want to approach the word well on a positive note also. He didn't want to approach the word well. The word well itself was a can of worms.
He said, we've closed that chapter, we've moved on, and Allah has reunited us.
I read a beautiful saying one day. It goes as follows. To tell someone, I forgive you, but I cannot forget, is just another way of saying, I will not forgive you. To tell someone, brother, I forgive you, but by Allah, I cannot forget, is just another way of saying, I cannot forgive. So yes, this is the beauty. Allah has brought it before us. What is the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And I'm going to ask my colleagues to put this dua on the board so that every musalli and every person here starts reciting this dua. Alhamdulillahi alladhi bi ni'matihi tatimmu as-salihat. All praise belongs to Allah through whose boon and favor virtue sees completion, nobility sees culmination. All praise belongs to Allah through whose boon and favor virtue sees completion, and nobility sees culmination. We learn from the teachings of Sayyidina
Sulaiman alayhi salam that he made the following supplication to Allah. Rabbi awzi'ni an ashkura ni'mataka allati an'amta alayya wa ala walidayya. O my Lord, give me the ability to do righteous deeds. And can there be a more righteous deed than the building of a masjid? Can there be a more noble deed in a needed place like this than the building of a masjid? But the effort is far from over. Look at the supplication of a Nabi. O my Lord, give me the ability to do righteous deeds. And a'mala salihan. After he completed the performance of righteous deeds, he engaged in the prayer, Tardahu. O my Lord, I beg you that now that I have performed this deed, please be kind to accept it and be pleased with it. So now our dua has moved on. Our dua has moved on. You know, in English they say problems never end, they only differ. So make dua. I've got a youngster at home, we want him to get married. Finally, alhamdulillah, I found a good partner, they got married. My children are of marriageable age. None of you think time moves so fast. They got married and they settled. Now, after a little while, make dua, Allah blesses the union with a child. The nature, the dynamic of the prayer has changed. But the prayer continues. What's the dua of Sulaiman? Allah, let me do good. Allah, let me do. Oh my Allah, you've made this possible. You've made the. Now, tardahu, tardahu. Allah, you be pleased. You be pleased. And then, an a'mala salihan tardahu. Now that you are pleased, does this guarantee my entry into paradise? No. وَأَدْخِلْنِي بِرَحْمَتِكَ فِي عِبَادِكَ الصَّالِحِينَ. I ask you not through the agency of my righteous deeds, but through the agency of your sheer mercy, make me amongst those who walk into paradise. Look at the humility of a Nabi. Look at the humility of a Nabi. Allah, endow me with the ability to do it. I have performed it. I have taken my prayer to another level. Be kind enough to accept it. If you've accepted, that doesn't guarantee my entry into paradise. And obviously the dua of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, to which Mawlana alluded, وَإِذْ يَرْفَعُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ الْقَوَاعِدَ مِنَ الْبَيْتِ وَإِسْمَاعِيلُ رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا. The word taqabbal, if you study the etymology of this word and you dissect it and you appreciate the profoundness of the grammar of this word, in essence, after the construction of the Kaaba, Ibrahim, in this word taqabbal and Ismail alayhima min Allahi as-salatu wa taslimat, they said, O my Lord, our action and our construction does not warrant acceptance. The action does not warrant acceptance, but rather the focus is on your mercy, by your kindness, accept the humble, simple, feeble effort. And that's not an exaggeration. That's not a commentary. That's not an extension. That is the translation of the grammar that has been encaptured in the word taqabbal. If you're familiar with Arabic grammar, you'll understand the connotations of what I'm saying. Now, to speak about some of the etiquettes, some of the duties, some of the obligations of the masjid, the hadith is in Muslim Sharif. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu narrates the hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, مَنْ بَنَى لِلَّهِ مَسْجِدًا يَبْتَغِي بِهِ وَجْهَ اللَّهِ بَنَى اللَّهُ لَهُ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ. He who builds a masjid, مَنْ بَنَى مَسْجِدًا لِلَّهِ, exclusively for the pleasure of Allah. يَبْتَغِي بِهِ وَجْهَ اللَّهِ. The be all and the end all, the primary motive, the motivation behind this is to win the happiness of my Allah. بَنَى اللَّهُ لَهُ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ. Be sure that Allah will build for him an abode, a palace, and a place, and a home in paradise. The scholars of hadith tell us so much from this hadith. Number one, عُلِمَ مِنْهُ تَأْكِيدُ إِصْلَاحِ النِّيَّةِ. عُلِمَ مِنْهُ تَأْكِيدُ إِصْلَاحِ النِّيَّةِ. The first thing we learn is the nobility of intention whenever we do anything, whether religious or otherwise. And often I have seen, and perhaps you will identify with my sentiments, when there is nobility in our intention, the reward is awesome, the results are great. When we have nobility in our intention, our vision is clear, our aim is clear. Remember the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, man akhadha amwal an-nas yuridu ada'aha addallahu anhu. He who borrows money from someone for whatever the circumstances are, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says his intention is to pay the man as quick as possible. Not to exploit, not to delay, not to prolong. to pay the man, Allah will make divine means for him to pay that money. The hadith of Bukhari, authentic. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, back in the times, a person borrowed money from a man living across the river. The date was finalized, the time was fixed. On this day, I will pay you back your money. The man was committed, he was conscious, he was diligent. He came out to say, I need to pay this man his money. When he came out to get a boat to cross the river, there was no boat. This is a hadith of Bukhari Sharif. It's not a thumb suck. It's the words of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he didn't find a boat. So now he was quite hurt and saddened and depressed that I promised a man his money. And this is a serious thing. And we need to be conscious about these things, that if we owe people money, we need to settle it. We need to settle it. I said recently I attended a funeral, and after completing the rituals of the burial, I made a dua, and a very passionate dua, and I had a bit of an outpour emotional about the brother. And after I completed my dua, brother nudges me. He says, but he owes me money. I'm like, who? He. Oh, okay. Brothers, can we just be sensitive to the moment of the family? I say, yeah, but I need my money. And he has a leg to stand on. He has a voice, and he has a right to speak. And I haven't afforded him that. Muhammad Sassam has afforded him that. Muhammad Sassam has afforded him. So our deen must be very clean and clear. We know the very famous hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Allah Ta'ala protection. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-kufri wa al-dayn. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-kufri wa al-dayn. Oh Allah, save me from debt and save me from disbelief. And the scholars, whenever they deduce, you know, when you look at the eye of the scholars and the profoundness of Quran and hadith, it's in, you know, beyond comprehension. One is they explain the message, and they equally deduce the merit of that injunction in relation to the context in which it's been discussed. So the Prophet ﷺ is asking Allah protection from disbelief, beyond which there can be no crime and offense. And he couples disbelief with debts. That speaks volumes on how wicked, overwhelming debts are. So one sahabi said, O Nabi of Allah, did I hear you right? أَتَعْدِلُ الْكُفْرَ بِالدَّيْنِ. Do you equate debts to kufr? He said, of course. Of course. I said, are we saying kufr and debts? أَتَعْدِلُ الْكُفْرَ بِالدَّيْنِ. Are we putting them on one level? He said, yes. And the Shariheen Hadith, may Allah reward them, they left nothing but they have expounded on it. They said, why? When a person has overwhelming debts and he gets desperate to pay, then what does he do? He starts conducting his life like a kafir and a disbeliever. He will now indulge in forbidden. He will pull the machines. He will deal in fraudulent. He will exploit the gray market. He will work in the black market. He'll do anything and everything. So was it not that the overwhelming debts led him to the avenues of disbelief? And Allah forbid, in the process, his iman leaves him. The ayun of a Nabi, the vision of a Nabi, Allah save me from debts which leads me to kufr. So anyway, this person came out. He didn't find the boat. He found a little twig. He opened it. He dug inside, made it a bit hollow. He put the money inside. And he said, Allah, I promised the man to pay him, Allah. And it's, I wasn't able to sleep, my Allah. I owe the man the money. And he left the twig in the water to sail. He said, Allah, I've left it to you. My words are, have a good intention. The hadith of that I quoted, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, whoever builds a house of Allah with the absolute aim of pleasing Allah, and there's no dilution in his endeavor. There's no dilution in his endeavor. You know, yesterday I was speaking, and last week also I was saying something. I said, Sahaba were those who only wanted paradise. And we are those who also want paradise. Sahaba were those who only wanted paradise. How about a woman saying, this is also my husband? Poor uncle can't say that today. And Allah, he has an Allah given right. Right? My sisters here know me. How about saying, this is also my husband? Sahaba didn't also want Jannat. They only wanted Jannat. There is a world of difference in that phrase. And that entails a big difference. Oh my Allah, I have built this masjid not also to please you, only to please you. Oh my Allah, I've built this masjid and I've donated not also to get recognition and you be only for your pleasure. Yes, if without you desiring and hankering and aspiring and indicating and insinuating, tribute and praises comes your way, The hadith of Bukhari is very explicit. May Allah reward the Sahaba. They left nothing but they told us. They asked all the questions. Sometimes I look at their questions and I cry in them. Oh my Allah, what questions they asked Habib sallallahu alayhi wasallam. A Sahabi said, Oh Nabi of Allah, I engage in prayer. And I pray for my Allah. And I enjoy my prayer. And then somebody makes a polite comment. And I'm not motivated by that comment. But I must be honest, I enjoy it also. How honest, how transparent, how sincere. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that's fine. That's a good glad tidings, Allah. That's an early glad tidings in this world of the acceptance of your prayer in Akhirah. Tilka ajilu bushra al-mu'min. Tilka ajilu bushra al-mu'min. Long story short, this man is waiting on the opposite end of the river. Finally, he sees this twig sailing. He's waiting. Where is this man? Nothing comes. He looks at the twig. He opens it. He finds the money is inside. You're talking of electronic transfer? Water transfer was happening before my birth. You're talking of electronic transfer. I'll do electronic transfer. If it's the same bag, you'll have it immediately. Phone beeps. Okay, money through. Oh, mashallah. Water transfer. Man akhada amwal an-nas yuridu ada'aha. So let's have good intentions. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, before Qiyamah, the murderer will take out his weapon and he will kill the murdered. Tragically, both will go to hell. Sahaba said, we identify with the perpetration of the murderer, but he's not the murdered and innocent man. He said he died with the equal intention of killing. Taqdeer prevailed and his life went. Had he had the opportunity, he would have been the murderer. It's the evil intention that will subject him to the same fate in Akhirah. So what's the words of the hadith of Nabi alayhi salam? Man bana masjidan yabtaghi bihi wajha Allah. My aim is my Allah, you be pleased. Bana Allahu lahu baytan fil jannah. Bana Allahu lahu baytan fil jannah. When a person has sincerity, then Allah will give prominence to what he's done. He won't have to promote himself. Allah will give prominence. I said 2 days ago when we were speaking at the Jalsa of Maulana Yunus rahmatullah alayhi, I made a remark there. And I said, Maulana sent a private SMS to his children. But the sincerity of that private SMS is, there's barely a phone that doesn't have that SMS now. When you have sincerity, Allah will promote it. One SMS has become part of the inbox of every phone in this country. On the reverse, when you want to promote yourself, then Allah denies you that. So what is it? يَبْتَغِي بِهِ وَجْهَ اللَّهِ. The first thing we learn, تَأْكِيدُ إِصْلَاحِ النِّيَّةِ. The second thing we learn, وَعُلِمَ مِنْهُ إِصْلَاحُ مَسْجِدٍ بُنِيَ سَابِقًا وَلَوْ لَمْ يَبْنِ مَسْجِدًا جَدِيدًا لِأَنَّ عُثْمَانَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ بَيَّنَ هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ عِنْدَ عِمَارَةِ الْمَسْجِدِ النَّبَوِي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Look at the eye of the scholars of hadith. We equally learn from this hadith that in its virtue, it embraces the reward of a person who did not build a masjid, although the categoric mention in the text is the one who builds a masjid. But in its virtue, it will embrace the one who gave a facelift to a masjid, who refurbished a masjid, who extended a masjid. Why? Sayyidina Uthman radiyallahu anhu, who narrates this hadith, he used this hadith as the motivation for the renovation of Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He renovated Masjid al-Nabawi. And remember, at that critical moment and that sad day when the rebels surrounded his house and they plotted his assassination, and then he interceded to them via the agency of the good deeds that Allah had endowed him with. He said, oh people, today you choose to kill me. Have you forgotten how small Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was? And Allah gave me the honor and the privilege to extend it. And did not the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam say, the one who builds or extends, for him is a house in Jannah? So we learn from this hadith that it equally embraces. And hence, the Mufassirin have written, we know Masjid al-Dhirar, reference of this is made in the Quran. This wasn't a masjid by definition, but it was some evil elements who had put up some structure and they had some nasty agenda and they invited Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam to come and offer prayers and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him not to go there. And this is an evil place with an evil agenda. And the Quran says, "Kullu masjidin bun." The Mufassirin write under this ayah, "Kullu masjidin buniya riya'an wa sum'atan, aw li ghardin siwa ibtigha'a wajhi Allah 'azza wa jal, aw bi malin ghayri tayyibin fa huwa lahiqun bi masjidi dhirar." May Allah guide us in our intentions. Every masjid that is built out of rivalry, every masjid that is built to impress, every masjid that is built with a motivation other than pleasing Allah, or with income that is tainted or diluted, then it could be aligned with the implications of Masjid al-Dhirar. And the hadith of Abu Dawood, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna min ashratis sa'a ay yatabaha an-nasu fil masajid." Amongst the signs of Qiyamah is people will not only boast the car they drive or the house they live or the clothing they wear, they'll equally boast the masjid they attend. "Inna min ashratis sa'a ay yatabaha." So what I'm saying is we've come a long way. Allah has made it. We cannot afford to lose this. We cannot afford. It's now upon us to protect our reward. We have to harness it. We have to capture it. We have to preserve it. Can we allow our reward to go? Not at all. The narration of Ibn Majah and Ibn Khuzaymah, Jabir radiallahu anhu narrates it. When we speak about donating to the masjid, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "لِمَنْ يَبْنِي الْمَسْجِدَ مِثْلَ بَيْتِ الْقَطَاتِ." The narration of Ibn Majah and Ibn Khuzaymah, "He who builds a masjid the size of the nest of a bird." He who builds a masjid the size of the nest of a bird. What do the scholars deduce from this? Obviously, it's not literal, because if you build such a small, your foot won't get in, leave alone a person getting in. What is meant by, I gave you the reference, what is meant by building a masjid of that size? The scholars of hadith tell us, "عُلِمَ مِنْ هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ فَضِيلَةُ إِعْطَاءِ مَالٍ قَلِيلٍ لأن بناء المسجد كبيت القطات يكون بالشركة بحيث يبتني بماله جزء صغير من المسجد." What is meant? What is meant by building a masjid the size of a nest? It's a subtle indication of a small donation. And it means your contribution to an extended masjid was the size of the nest of a bird. But you'll walk away with the reward of the whole masjid. You'll walk away with nothing less. "Inna hadha la rizquna ma lahu min nafad." There is no, the provision of Allah is not depleted, it's not exhausted. What is meant? The reference here is of a humble donation. Why? لِأَنَّ الْبِنَا كَبَيْتِ الْقَطَاتِ. Building a masjid like a nest, in essence would mean يَكُونُ بِالشِّرْكَ. Mutually, people will be donating, each one will be given. So maybe someone's donation will be that of a brick. One brick or two bricks, and together it would contribute to the construction of the overall masjid. Furthermore, the scholars of hadith tell us, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Whoever builds a house for Allah, Allah will build for him a similar house." So does it mean this man gets a nest in Jannah? No. لِأَنَّ الْمُشَابَهَةَ لَيْسَتْ فِي الصِّغْرِ وَالْكِبْرِ بَلْ فِي الْإِخْلَاسِ. The similitude and the similarity is Allah will build for him similar. It doesn't mean the same size. It means Allah, if you build with ikhlas and sincerity, Allah will build for you a palace in Jannah. Allah will build for you a palace in Jannah. And not only building, there's a very beautiful hadith. And I'm saying this because obviously there might be still finer touch-ups that needs to be done. And the spirit is just overwhelming. My phone has just been flooded with SMSs from the extended community. And may Allah reward everyone. Monona, you have to come and see the spirit, the atmosphere, the ambience, the flavor. It's just all-embracing. It's beyond description. This unification, this unity, this atmosphere, this warmness is something that you cannot put a price on. And this itself in its own way is the construction of a masjid. What did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say when his masjid was built and sahaba would frequent the masjid? There was no adequate lighting arrangements. Now look at this beauty. And here, I hope I can motivate someone for whatever thing. We could be back in our own localities, communities, and there might be some need. Maybe in the toilet there is a little handle that needs to be changed. Or perhaps I could donate a towel or something to make it easy for a particular musalli and a worshipper. Tamim Dari radiallahu anhu, qadima tamimun al-Madina. He came to Medina. Wafaqa laylat al-Jum'ah. It coincided with the night of Jum'ah. He came in, it was Maghrib time, he found the masjid is very, very dark. He had with him, sahiba ma'ahu qanadil wa hibal wa zayt. He had a lantern, he had some oil, and he had a little rope. So he looked at the masjid one day, 2 days, he said, "This is dark." He says, "No, wait, let me see if I can do something." He got his lantern, got his oil, and he came at the time of Maghrib and he lit it up. And he added some flavor, some light, some brightness to the masjid. The next day, the master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam walks in, and he sees the masjid is mashallah beautiful and bright. He says, "Man awqadat masjidana?" Who brought this light and this brilliance to our masjid? Everybody politely pointed to Tamim Dari radiallahu anhu. I came across three different narrations. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam called him
And he said, نورت مسجدنا نور الله عليك. نورت مسجدنا, تميم, you've taken the initiative of brightening my masjid. It's my words, may Allah brighten your life. The narration of Qurtubi, نورت الإسلام. The narration of Qurtubi, نورت الإسلام, نور الله عليك في الدنيا والآخرة. Tamim, you've brightened our deen up. You've lit our religion up. May Allah brighten your life in this world, in the qabr and in akhirah. And لو كان لي ابنة لزوجتكها. Tamim, you've made me so happy. If I had any of my daughters unmarried, I wouldn't have twitched my eye. I would have given her to you in your nikah. These are the words. Read the narration. Yet another narration suggests that with him were his slaves. So one of his slaves, he told him that, you know what, you please hang the lantern and you own it. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Man asraja masjidana, who brought light to our masjid? So Tamim radiallahu anhu said, Ghulami hada, my servant, my slave. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam called me and he said, come here, what's your name? I said, my name is Fatah. Fasammani Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam siraja. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, no, you brought light to my masjid. I'm changing your name. You're a light for the whole ummah. Your name is a lantern. And yet another narration suggests that Sayyidina Tamim Dari brought the idea, Umar developed the idea, radiallahu anhu. He brought about the concept, Sayyidina Umar then took it forward and he said, okay, that's a brilliant idea. Let's now, you know, it opens up a new dimension that we can create some beautiful lighting in our masjid. And then he took it forward, and in his reign, at the time when he made Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu in charge of the nocturnal prayer, the Taraweeh prayer by night, and then he had lit up the masjid. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu walks in and he sees this masjid is radiant and it's bright and the brilliance is all embracing. And he said, who and when and how? And they said, it's Umar. He said, Nawwar Allah, Nawwarta masjidana yabna al-Khattab, Nawwar Allahu qabrak. Nawwarta masjidana yabna al-Khattab. Oh Umar, you brightened our masjid. My prayer is Allah brighten your grave. And you know the hadith. Whether it was the independent virtue of Umar, which coincided with the supplication of Ali, but this is definite, it's in Hayatul Sahaba, where the Prophet ﷺ said, he was talking with Umar, and he said, Umar, what would happen to you when you'll be lowered into your grave, and two angels will appear, and their voice will be like thunder, and their sight will be like lightning. لَوْ ضَرَبَاكَ ضَرْبَةً تَصِيرُ بِهَا رَمَادًا. If they hit you one, you'll be reduced to ashes. And then the narration goes on, وَزَادَ عَبْدُ الْوَاحِدْ فِي كِتَابِهِ التَّبْصِيرِ. Abdul Wahid makes mention of it in his Kitab al-Tabsir, that Nabi Sassam then said to Umar, okay, I just need to tell you something. Jibreel just told me when you will be lowered into your grave, the brightness in your grave will be amazing. You'll tell the angels, listen, Allah is my Lord, who's your Lord? You'll pull them on the back foot from the word go. Whether it's the independent virtue of Umar, coincided with the supplication of Ali radiallahu anhu, but this is the reality. Hadith of Tibrani, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrates it, the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man bana masjidan, man bana baytan, yu'abadu Allahu fihi, min malin halalin, bana Allahu lahu baytan fil jannah min durrin wa yaqutin. He who builds a house for Allah in which Allah will be worshipped. Sometimes we cannot have a full masjid, but we have an eye of concern. You know what, we are Muslims working in a common firm, and there is the time of Dhuhr and it is Ramadan. And somebody makes the initiative of availing one of his office rooms. That's it. The hadith says, Man bana baytan yu'abadu Allahu fihi. He who designates, he who dedicates, he who builds a room, a house, a place, an abode for people to come and worship there, no strings attached, min malin halal. That's a key requisite. The income must be pure and wholesome. Banallahu lahu baytan fil jannah min durrin wa yaqut. He will walk away in paradise with a home built with pearls and rubies. The ulama tell us, هَذَا مِنْ إِحْتِرَامِ الْمَسْجِدِ بِأَلَّا يَبْنِيَ بِالْمَالِ الْحَرَامِ. The sanctity of the masjid demands that we use halal funds. And when we say haram, whether it is سَوَاءً الْمَالُ الْمُنْفَقُ حَرَامِ, the money spelt is haram, أَوْ مَدُّهُ الْبِنَا حَرَامًا, or the material used is forbidden, أو أخذ الأرض حراما, or the land was usurped. And under this hadith, the scholars have written extensively that it is not becoming of a Muslim to obtain a land which is not legally correct for him to obtain,
and then feels that he is fighting a legitimate war, or he is fighting in the cause of Islam. Our deen is complete. Our faith is beautiful. We cannot tarnish our reputation by our ill practices. So everything connected to the masjid must be done in a legitimate way, in a lawful way, in the correct process, above board. Then we maximize on the reward. The point I'm trying to drive here, any contact, in whatever form, the very famous hadith in Bukhari Sharif, كانت سوداء تقم المسجد. There was this African woman, dark-skinned, who did not have much social prominence. Her contribution to the masjid of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was no more than sweeping. She used to come and sweep. That was it. Come, sweep and leave. Come, sweep and leave. فَلَمَّا تُوفِّيَتْ لَيْلًا She passed away one night. كَأَنَّهُمْ صَغَّرُوا أَمْرَهَا The companions, Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, didn't find it ethical to disturb the sleep of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam to respond to the funeral prayer of this woman. So they arranged for the rituals and the burial, and all was done. فَلَمَّا أَصْبَحَ When it was morning, they said, O Nabi of Allah, as we would inform you of any happenings or dreams or visions, the sister who used to come and, you know, very religiously, she used to sweep here, the poor sister passed away. Was my Nabi angry? هَلَّا أَذَنْتُمُونِي But why didn't you come and wake me up? What was this woman's contribution? She used to sweep Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Again, our deen does not differentiate. There's nothing like ethnic, there's nothing like color, there's nothing like all these other artificial boundaries that we have created. Dulluni ala qabriha. Take me to her grave. Fakharaja. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam leaves. Wa ma'ahu ashabuhu, and with him are his companions. وَقَفَ عَلَىٰ قَبْرِهَا He stands at her grave. صَلَّى عَلَيْهَا وَالنَّاسُ خَلْفَهُ The Sahaba formed the rows behind him. And he said, إِنَّ هَذِهِ الْقُبُورِ These graves are filled with darkness. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يُنَوِّرُهَا بِصَلَاتِ عَلَيْهِمْ And Allah brings light to this qabr because of my prayer. The scholars say, كَيْفَ بَيَّنَ قَدْرَهَا بِأَنْشَكَ عَدَمَ الْإِخْبَارِ How the Prophet ﷺ elevated the profile of this woman, that he paid tribute to her by coming to her grave and offering prayers at her grave after her death. Obviously, هذه خصوصية النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. This prayer at the grave after burial is the exclusive privilege of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. And there is a dedicated chapter that highlights the specialities of Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم. And this is not permissible or possible for me or you or any ordinary mortal or human. But this was the speciality. But suffice to say the profile of this woman, the honor, the respect and the merit and the regard of this woman. Now, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu used to say something very beautifully, and I hope this becomes a reality. He said, Suqul Muslimina kamusallal Muslimin. Suqul Muslimin kamusallal Muslimin. The Muslims' mall, marketplace, place of trade, and their masjid are the same. What did Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu say? The Muslims' marketplace and their masjid are the same. Meaning, just as we obey Allah in the masjid, we obey Allah in the marketplace. Just as we do that which is pleasing to Allah in the masjid, so do we do the same thing in the marketplace. I'm afraid the thing has been reversed today. Today what has happened, the masjid, the very same sin, vice, transgression that is happening in the marketplace is happening in the masjid. As we are out to exploit there, we are out to exploit here. As we are begging the creation there, we are begging the creation here. I was reading in the writings of one of our scholars, very amazing. He was sitting in the masjid, one person, and he's begging another man, please my brother, give me this employment, give me this job, do this. He said, brother, أَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ فَلَا تَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ أَحَدًا For heaven's sake, if you don't have the dignity of only begging Allah, and you choose to beg his creation, don't have the audacity to beg his creation in his house. وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ فَلَا تَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ أَحَدًا The masjid belongs to Allah. This is the place we supplicate Allah. So if you don't have the dignity of only begging Allah, don't have the audacity. Don't have the audacity of begging others at the house of Allah. Salim rahmatullah alayhi, the grandson of Abdullah ibn Umar. I often quote this incident. He is making tawaf of the Kaaba. The king of the time says, Salim, please make a request to me and it will be my privilege and my honor. He gives him a dirty look. What an insult. I'm at the Kaaba at the house of the King of Kings, and then I must still entertain the thought of communicating with creation. My apologies. I didn't realize the sanctity of the location. Anyway, he completes his tawaf as he exits from the Kaaba and he walks out. The king tags along behind him. Once upon a time, these were the dynamics of the community. The wealthy, the affluent, the prominent felt it the need to secure the supplications of the pious. He said, I apologize for what I have done at the sanctity of the Kaaba. We're now outside the haram. Now please tell me any need of yours. So Salim Rahmatullah Alayhi said, can you be more explicit? Are you referring to material needs or spiritual needs? Which one are you available to fulfill? He said, no, obviously the reference is material. Spiritual, I should be asking you. He said, I consider this world so trivial, I don't even ask the world from Allah. I keep my du'as for akhirat. And I don't get myself, I rather focus on that absolute exclusive. This comes its way. So, وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ, the hadith of Muslim Sharif, Abu Hurairah narrated, radiyallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا رَأَيْتُمْ مَنْ يَبِيعُ فِي الْمَسْجِدِ أَوْ يَبْتَاعُ فَقُولُوا لَا أَرْبَحَ اللَّهُ تِجَارَتَكْ وَإِذَا رَأَيْتُمْ مَنْ يُنْشِدُ ضَلَّةً فَقُولُوا لَا رَدَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ فَإِنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لَمْ تُبْنَ لِهَذَا. When you see people sitting in the masjid and they're striking a deal, then tell them, it's the curse of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I hope your transaction never prospers. These are not my words, the words of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَإِذَا رَأَيْتُمْ مَنْ يَبِيعُ أَوْ يَبْتَاعُ فِي الْمَسْجِدِ فَقُولُوا لَا أَرْبَحَ اللَّهُ تِجَارَتَكْ. And today with the cell phone, many of us are doing deals. We might logistically argue from a jurisprudence perspective that the mabi and the article is not brought in the masjid, but honor the sanctity of the masjid. You get a BBM or you get a, you know what, an SMS to say this is the article, this is the price, and you just say, yeah, okay, go ahead, all on, speak to you after sunnats. No, my brother. Spare the moment, honor the masjid, respect the location, show regard. فَقُولُوا لَا أَرْبَحَ اللَّهُ تِجَارَتَكْ وَإِذَا رَأَيْتُمْ مَنْ يُنْشِدُ ضَلَّةً. And you see people coming and they're saying, where's this? And I lost this and I found this and I'm looking for this. And let me know if you... فَقُولُوا لَا رَدَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ لَا رَدَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ. Then tell them, I hope you don't find what you lost. These are not my words. The scholars tell us, if you fear that it's going to create fitna, then you say it softly in your heart. Because you say it loud, then it's another fitna. Who are you to tell me? But who are you to tell me? Oh. فَإِنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لَمْ تُبْنَ لِهَذَا. Masajids were not built for these reasons. Masajid have a sanctity, they have a duty, they have an obligation. The hadith of Bukhari. Sa'ib ibn Yazid radiyallahu anhu narrates the hadith. He says, I'm sitting in Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَحَسَبَنِي رَجُلٌ, someone nudges me. He nudged me, I looked at him, it was Umar ibn Khattab. And you know the awe of Umar. He said, اِذْهَبْ فَأْتِنِي بِهَذَيْن. Go bring those two gentlemen and come here right now. فَأَتَيْتُ بِهِمَا, I brought them. Umar radiallahu anhu asked him, مِنْ أَيْنَ أَنْتُمَا, the hadith is in Bukhari. From where you people come? He said, مِنْ أَهْلِ الطَّائِفِ, we are from Taif. وَاللَّهِ لَوْ كُنْتُمَا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْبَلَدِ لَأُوْجَعْتُكُمَا. I'm just showing regard to you because you're not a local resident of Medina. You are raising your voice before the qabr of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. By Allah, if you were a resident of Medina, لَأُوْجَعْتُكُمَا, I would have hurt you badly. And I know Mona Shabir Sahib is present here. Monana always emphasizes this point. Sanctity to the masjid. Respect to the masjid. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu narrates the hadith. Tibrani has mentioned it. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, يَكُونُ فِي أَخِرِ الزَّمَانِ قَوْمٌ يَكُونُ حَدِيثُهُمْ فِي مَسَاجِدِهِمْ فِي أَمْرِ دُنْيَاهُمْ. One of the signs of Qiyamah is, people will make the masjid a park. People will make the masjid a convention center. People will make the masjid a chatting hall. They will come and discuss their worldly affairs in the masjid. One of the wisdoms of keeping our mashwaras in the masjid is so that we remain formal and structured. But we want to relax and chill and stretch and talk. That's why we want to be outside. And the idea is that we don't waste time. Yesterday I mentioned, we say, you're killing time. Time is killing you, my brother. Time is killing us. The calendar is moving, time is running out. يَكُونُ حَدِيثُهُمْ فِي مَسَاجِدِهِمْ. They will discuss their worldly affairs in the masjid. فَلَيْسَ لِلَّهِ فِيهِمْ حَاجَةً. Allah has no connection with them. No connection with them. The scholars of hadith say, كِنَايَةٌ عَنْ عَدَمِ قُبُولِ طَاعَتِهِمْ. Their actions will not be privileged with acceptance in the court of Allah.
So we need to show respect and sanctity, and in particular Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as the context of this hadith. Earlier in the year when I was there, it was the time of Maghrib. We were sitting at the Rawdah Mubarak of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. By Allah, and somebody's phone rang in that musical tone. I couldn't hold myself. I couldn't possibly hold myself. I stood up, I went to the brother, I hugged him, and I sat down and I said, my brother, there was obviously a bit of a language barrier, but in however I could talk to him, I said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, بُعِثْتُ بِكَسْرِ الْمَزَامِيرِ, amongst the fundamental objects of my creation, of me being sent on this earth, is to destroy musical instruments, and you come and display it at his grave in the name of love for him. I said, Ya Allah, that hadith flash, I went to him, Allah reward the brother, he was very receptive. I didn't know him from a bar of soap. He respected my sentiments. I told him, please brother, be kind enough. Respect the moment. For Allah's sake, we need to show respect and regard. And while we're on the topic of this year, we've heard, the scholars have told us, pamphlets have been advertised. If for whatever reason, A, we don't have a musical tone. We don't have a musical tone. There's just no leeway and acceptance to this in Islam. We keep another phone or we change it or whatever it is. Secondly, we don't have ayat of the Quran. It's disrespect and disregard to the Quran. Obviously, it's not so offensive if it goes out in salah, but that's not the correct way. Thirdly, if perchance we have the regular, the common, the normal ringtone, and it's in our pocket, and the phone rings while we're in salah, suddenly we concentrate in so much that we don't want to off it. We lack it totally, but now we're so focused. We're absolute in salah. Now let's be real. Let's be real. The right thing is, my brother, if you can switch the phone off by the use of one hand only, and not two hands, with your gaze focused, then that would be wholesome and wonderful without it nullifying your prayer. But if it warrants the use of both hands, the right thing is terminate your prayer, break your salah, because you're breaking 100 people's salah. Break your salah, off that immediately, off the phone. You know, somebody sent me one of these messages, I don't know how true it is, the guy is in sajda and he's got a phone, can't talk to you now. Like, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, oh my Allah, where has our time come? فَإِنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لَمْ تُبْنَ لِهَذَا. This is not the object of the masjid. I want to try and draw it to a close, time is against me. We want our youth to come to this masjid. And we want one and all to come. Allah has provided you now with a place. Allah has provided you with a place of safety and amnesty. We know where the youth are congregating, at this park, at this place, at this avenue. In the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, all events took place in the masjid. As-salatu jami'ah, as-salatu jami'ah. The salah is taking place and everybody would hasten towards the masjid. Imam Ahmad rahmatullah alayhi says, حدثنا هيثم قال حدثنا إسماعيل بن عياش عن عبد الرحمن بن عدي البهراني عن يزيد بن ميسرة أنه قال إن الله تعالى يقول أيها الشاب التارك شهوته لي المتبذل شبابه من أجلي أنت عندي كبعض ملائكتي. The chain of narration I gave you, in essence, Yazid ibn Maysara used to say, Allah addresses a young man in the prime of his life, when his youth is brimming to optimum level. And Allah says, oh young man, if you channel your youth objectively, you rank equal to me like my malaika rank. You rank equal to me. So here is a young boy, comes to Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, shabun yuqbilu ala Abu Darda radiallahu anhu. And he says, Ya sahib Rasulillah awsini, O companion of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, give me some advice. What are the advices? Direct link to the masjid. Abu Darda radiallahu anhu holds the young boy. First, we ask of the youth to access the scholars and to ask of their advice. What a beautiful atmosphere. This young boy coming and asking and learning and interacting. The advice of Abu Darda to this young boy was, Ya bunayya kun aliman, aw muta'alliman, aw mustami'an, wa la takun al-rabi'. Oh my young boy, endeavor to become a scholar and an asset of Islam. And if you don't live up to become a scholar, become a student. And if that's not possible, at least listen to both of them attentively, but don't do anything else. What did Abu Darda radiallahu anhu say? Become an asset, don't become a liability. Become a scholar, and if you cannot become a scholar, become a student. And if you cannot become a student, extend an attentive ear, mustami'an, istima'. Extend an attentive ear to both of them, wala takun al-rabi', and don't do anything else. And we learn from this also, the hadith is in Tibrani, Abu Umama radiallahu anhu narrates it. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من غدا إلى المسجد لا يريد إلا أن يتعلم خيرا أو يعلمه كان له كأجر حاج تاما حجته أو كما قال. He who comes to the masjid, not to perform salah, but to come and attend a discourse to learn one hadith. Or he who comes to the masjid,
not to learn but to impart. When they end that lesson, they both walk away with the reward of an accepted Hajj. The scholars say, فَعُلِمَ مِنْهُ أَنَّ الْمَسْجِدَ كَمَا هُوَ لِلصَّلَاةِ كَذَلِكَ لِتَعَلُّمِ الْعِلْمِ الدِّينِ فَيَنْبَغِي أَنْ يَكُونَ فِيهِ مَنْ يُخْبِرُ بِمَسَائِلِ الدِّينِ. Just as one of the fundamental objects of the masjid is prayer, so is it the learning and the acquisition of the knowledge of deen. Hence, our brothers remind us often in tabligh that we have to establish the masjid. It's got to be vibrant. It's got to be active. And how must it be active? With activities taking place in the masjid. So either become a scholar, become a student, or listen to them attentively. Ya bunayya liyakunil masjidu baytak. Oh my young boy, make the masjid your house. Where you staying? Upper Houghton, Lower Houghton, no, no, 52 Second Avenue. Where you staying, my brother? That's the address I'll never forget. Liyakunil masjidu baytak. The masjid is your house. Why? فإني سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول المساجد بيت كل تقي. Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم said, if anybody wants to know where the pious of my ummah live, I will give you their address. The pious of my ummah live in the masjids across the world. You want the address of the pious? Ask Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. Abu Darda mentions it here. المساجد بيت كل تقي. And what do you get? What's your reward? What's your merit? وَقَدْ ضَمِنَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ لِمَنْ كَانَتِ الْمَسَاجِدُ بُيُوتَهُمْ الرَّوْحَ وَالرَّحْمَةَ وَالْجَوَازَ عَلَى الصِّرَاطِ. And for those who make the masjid a frequent place, and they stay in the masjid, they occupy themselves in the masjid, three promises Abu Darda say, الرَّوْحَ وَالرَّحْمَةَ وَالْجَوَازَ. Allah will give them barakat in their life. Allah will give them blessings. And Allah confirms for them to cross the pool sirat with the speed of lightning. فروح وريحان وجنة نعيم وأما إن كان من المقربين فروح وريحان وجنة نعيم. ريحان could either mean fragrance or sustenance. Allah promises them fragrance and sustenance. فهو لمن كانت المساجد بيوتهم. And the hadith of Qurtubi, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, هم في صلاتهم والله عز وجل في حوائجهم. They will be praying in salah, and Allah will be attending to their needs. هُمْ فِي الْمَسَاجِدْ وَاللَّهُ مِنْ وَرَائِهِمْ. They'll be in the masjid and Allah will be protecting them. And at its least, Abu Darda goes on to say, if you don't make the masjid your abode, إِيَّاكُمْ وَالْأَسْوَاقِ, then don't make the zone your abode. The words of Abu Darda, إِيَّاكُمْ وَالْأَسْوَاقِ. If you cannot make the masjid your abode, don't make the mall your abode. فَإِنَّهُ يُلْهِي وَيُلْغِي. The masjid will stimulate spirituality. The mall will take you away from Allah. We have to frequent it and we have to go there. We have needs, business, etc. But let it not be a place of congregation. Let it not be a place of relaxing and meeting. One, two hadith, inshallah, and I draw it to a close. When the verse was revealed, لَمَسْجِدٌ أُسِّسَ عَلَى التَّقْوَى مِنْ أَوَّلِ يَوْمٍ أَحَقُّ أَن تَقُومَ فِيهِ فيه رجال يحبون أن يتطهروا والله يحب المطهرين. This is in context with Masjid Quba. And this is something for us here. Allah has made it very beautiful, our masjid. But now we want to add a new beauty. And what's that? Not only is this masjid beautiful, but go to Masjid Furqan. By Allah, the worshippers of that masjid are equally beautiful. And that's our challenge. And that's what I throw out to the floor. Go to Masjid Furqan. Why? It's got underfloor heating. No, no. The musallis are wholesome. They're amazing. They are great. That's the attraction and that's the hint in this ayah. So Allah told the Prophet ﷺ, don't go to Masjid Dhirar, but rather go to Masjid Quba. Why? For two reasons. Number one, its foundation is resting on piety. La masjidun ussisa ala taqwa. The masjid, the foundation of which has been placed on piety. And what's the second reason? فيه رجال يحبون أن يتطهروا. That masjid has a dual attraction. Its foundation is on piety and its worshippers are awesome. Its worshippers are amazing. So Allah made it possible that our masjid is beautiful and complete, which has its attraction. Can we raise the bar and say it's not only the external structure that's beautiful, the people in this masjid are amazing and awesome. Go there and you won't walk out without a smile and a warm atmosphere. Say inshallah, brothers. When this ayat was revealed, Masha Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, let's go and find out. Allah is praising the musallis of this masjid. Let's find out what's happening. وَمَعَهُ الْمُهَاجِرُونَ And with him are the muhajir. They come. وَقَفُوا عَلَى بَابِ مَسْجِدِ قُوبَى Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam halts outside Masjid Quba. فَإِذَا الْأَنصَارُ جُلُوسٌ MashaAllah, the Ansar were sitting outside the masjid and they were just talking and, you know, they were having a good time in their piety and nobility. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then asked them three questions. This is in Madarik al-Tanzeel. Allama Nasafi has mentioned it. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَتَرْضَوْنَ بِالْقَضَىٰ أَتَرْضَوْنَ بِالْقَضَىٰ Do you people express happiness on the divine decree of taqdeer and destiny? They said, yes, O Nabi of Allah. Whatever Allah has decided, we accept it. Someone asked Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, أَخْبِرْنِي عَنِ الْقَدْرِ O Ali, simplify the article of destiny for me. Predestination, simplify it for me. Ali radiallahu anhu said, who was an ocean of knowledge, هُوَ بَحْرٌ عَمِيقٌ لَا تَلِجْهُ It's a deep ocean, don't dive into it. He said, أَخْبِرْنِي عَنِ الْقَدْرِ Ali, please tell me more about taqdeer. He said, هُوَ طَرِيقٌ مُظْلِمٌ لَا تَسْلُكْهُ It's a dark road, don't walk on it. Ali radiallahu anhu, please tell me more. Am I doing what's written or what I'm doing will be written? Ali radiallahu anhu said, هُوَ سِرُّ اللَّهِ قَدْ خَفِيَ عَلَيْكَ It's the secret of Allah known to him only, don't probe it. أَتَرْضَوْنَ بِالْقَضَىٰ Do you people express happiness on the decree of Allah? They said, yes. أَتَشْكُرُونَ فِي الرَّخَىٰ Are you grateful in prosperity? They said, yes. Allahumma na'am. أَتَصْبِرُونَ فِي الْبَلَىٰ Do you persevere in difficulty? They said, yes. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, مُؤْمِنُونَ أَنْتُمْ وَرَبِّ الْكَعْبَةِ By Allah, you embody the qualities of a believer. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَثْنَى عَلَيْكُمْ فَمَا الَّذِي تَصْنَعُونَ عِنْدَ الْغَائِتِ Listen, O people, I've come to you because Allah has revealed a verse about you and Allah has praised you in the Quran. Allah has praised you in the Quran. Tell me, what's this amazing feature in you? Last week I was coming back from Mauritius, so I bought a book at the airport and I was reading it and one particular extract of it caught my eye. They say, every person you meet in life knows at least one thing you don't know. Be sure not to leave him till you learn it. Every person you meet in life knows at least one thing you don't know. Be sure not to leave him till you don't learn it. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Oh Ansar, you have something in you. Allah is praising you. Tell me, what's the secret? Let me have it also. They said, Oh Nabi of Allah, نَتَّبِعُ الْأَحْجَارِ نَتَّبِعُ الْغَائِتَ الْأَحْجَارِ ثُمَّ نَتَّبِعُ الْأَحْجَارَ الْمَا When we relieve ourselves, we use sand. And we don't suffice on one form of purity, but we combine two. We then follow it up with water. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then affirmed these sentiments of their purity. فِيهِ رِجَالٌ يُحِبُّونَ أَن يَتَطَهَّرُوا وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُطَّهِّرِينَ O Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, go to Masjid Quba and perform your salah. The worshippers there are very pure. The Mufassirin write, what was the nature of their purity? قِيلَ هُوَ عَمٌ عَنِ النَّجَاسَاتِ كُلِّهَا They kept themselves clean and pure from all forms of impurity. Or number two, التطهر عن الذنوب بالتوبة. They kept clean from sins by repenting. And the fact that they loved purity, أنهم يؤثرونه ويحرسون عليه. That this masjid was very amazing. The people in this masjid were clean by their nature, by their body, by their character, by their conduct. Allah loves them. What does it mean? أنه يحسن إليهم ويرضى عنهم. So, let us take this level to a greater level. Someone once asked, Maulana Inamul Hasan Rahmatullah Alayhi was taken to a masjid. Then the brother was giving him a tour of the masjid. He said, you know, the chandeliers are from this place here. The carpet is from this country. We brought the bricks from here. He said, and the musallis are from where? Are they coming from the heavens? Where are they coming from? They make up the masjid. The beauty of the masjid. We know, what do we say? As beautiful as the house is, when the children are gone, it's empty, it's dry. Our madrasa is closed, the madrasa is empty. The structure is there. It's the students that make the beauty. It's the children that bring liveliness to the house. It's the musallis that make the buzz in the masjid. So let us frequent the masjid. Allah has given us this masjid. It has multi, you know, faculties. We come here. The hadith of Bukhari. This is a common thing. We all have challenges in our life, marital related. The Prophet ﷺ goes to visit Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. and he finds he's not at home. So he asked his daughter Fatima, Aina ibnu ammik? Where's Ali? And he sensed from the mood there was a bit of marital discord. There was some, you know, uneasiness. It happens in the best of homes. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, where is he? She said, he's gone to the masjid. Anyway, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes out and he sees that Ali radiallahu anhu is just having a moment with himself. Sometimes you just need to relax yourself. They say every man has a mistress. Every man's wife is a mistress. Must for 1 year, stress for the rest of the life. Dad, what's the difference between mum's tears and wife's tears? My boy, mum's tears hurts the hearts. Wife's tears hurts the pocket. Nabi Sassam went to the masjid. He sees Ali radiallahu anhu lying in the courtyard. Saqata rida'uhu. His shawl had fallen off. Da'abahu bil kunniya. Da'abahu. Nabi Sassam said, Ya Aba Turab, oh dusty man, stand up. He stands up. Nabi Sassam softens the atmosphere. In Fathul Bari, there's a great write-up on this here. Number one, he writes, the author there. He says, عُلِمَ مِنْهُ أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْفَضْلِ قَدْ يَقَعُ بَيْنَهُمْ وَبَيْنَ زَوْجَتِهِمْ مَا تُبِعَ عَلَيْهِ الْبَشَرْ مِنَ الْغَضَبِ. We learn from this hadith that even the best of best homes, they also have their fair share of marital discord. There could not be a greater union than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam's daughter and Ali radiallahu anhu, but it was not free. That is why the one brother said, you know, I'm married for 15 years, we never had an argument. I guess like you're not staying with your wife, I'm sure. How often you come home? Once a year. No, that's fine. That's good. Good luck, my brother. مَا تُبِعَ عَلَيْهِ الْبَشَرْ مِنَ الْغَضَبِ. It happens. It happens. Then, وَقَدْ يَدْعُوهُ. He writes in Fathul Bari, وَقَدْ يَدْعُوا ذَلِكَ إِلَى الْخُرُوجِ مِنْ بَيْتِهِ وَلَا يُعَابُ عَلَيْهِ. And sometimes it gets so heated that the only way to bring calmness, you have to leave your house. And that also is not wrong. And we equally learn that when you leave your house, where do you find asylum? The masjid. I'm not saying for a moment if you walk in 10 o'clock in the morning and you find somebody, oh shame, brother, what's happening? Allah make it easy. No. Please, don't jump the gun and make the conclusion here. You know what? A man could be just coming to read his Ishraq Salah. So, you know what? Don't jump the gun and say any more who's here at an odd time. That means, you know what? Shame, you, even me, Allah make it easy for both. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying to you, my brother, where did Ali find asylum, radiyallahu anhu wa arda? Where did he find shelter? And you know what? At that time, it was still pure and pristine. My brother, you walk out of your house, it's a fit of rage. The ulama say, three things can lead a person to kufr. Al-kufru fi thalathati ashya. What is it? Al-ghadabu, wa-shahwatu, wa-raghbatu. Overwhelming anger. Ra'aytu rajulan ghadiba faqatala umma. I seen a man, the ulama write, the hukama, a man in a fit of fury killed his mother. وَرَجُلًا عَاشِقَ فَتَنَصَّرَ. And a man infatuated over a woman, forsaked his Islam and became a kafir. وَالرَّغْبَةُ. And an overwhelming drive and inclination for passion for something. So it's the fit of fury. You are in a moment of rage. You had to go with your wife. You come out of your yard and your house. There's a billboard inviting you somewhere. There's an SMS that is telling you to come somewhere else. The chances are that if you were going to sin at home in the form of anger, outside you will sin greater in the form of zina. So you come to the masjid. This is the place where you will have amnesty and protection. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in conclusion to accept the endeavors of every person. My opening comments were, and I will conclude with that, Alhamdulillahi alladhi bi ni'matihi tatimmu salihat. We had this great night of Shaban and this day. What is it? Someone asked the question, when Ramadan, we are at the threshold of Ramadan, then what's the virtue of 15 Shaban? And brilliant was the answer given. 15 Shaban is a pre-wash. The real wash happens in Ramadan. It's to take out the stubborn stains. You know, they take out the stubborn stains and your Omo and your preen, and then you put it in the machine. So the stubborn stains, our stains are only stubborn. Hopefully, inshallah, with the tears last night and the fast today or whatever the ibadat was, it will wash away the stubborn stains and we'll have a thorough wash in Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this masjid a means of unity to our community. It bonds us. It brings us together. It brings families together. It brings muhabbat and understanding. Our children come here. They acquire the sciences of Islam. Our children are tutored in the field of Quran. We perform our prayers. I'tikaf will be observed. Our women will be connected and associated. And as a whole family, we grow together, coming closer, earning the proximity and the closeness of Allah. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillah.
Syntech CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.